That I'm wearing glasses, so I must be an elk. No, never mind. It's okay. Oops. What was that? There's no snow on the mountain yet, but it's getting there. Just wait till I get back from Turkey. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we come to you, our Lord. We rejoice this morning that we can come into your presence with thanksgiving in our heart and sing praise unto you. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you do. And Lord, you never fail us. And so we give you praise today for being our God. Lord, we think of those needs among us as a congregation. Lord, we think of Rose Daschuk and Nella Hageman and Inga Moore and Ken Kennedy, Marian Hertha and Lori and Gladys. Lord, we lift them to you and pray, Father, that you would just restore them quickly. That, Father, you would bring to them good health and safety. And Lord, we pray for the family members who are walking alongside of these ones who are just not feeling 100%, God. We pray you give them courage and strength. Lord, we think of as a church that we are so thankful that we can pray for one another. And so we lift these people to you, God, these individuals who are precious in your sight, because you know better what they need. You know what they require better than we do. And so, Lord, we pray for healing, whatever that entails. God, whether that's physical, whether that's emotional, whether that's spiritual, God, we give that to you. And we pray for your healing. Lord, we think of other areas and of our world. And Lord, we think of Australia right now. Lord, we know there's a major drought there and it continues. And so, Lord, we pray for rain there. We pray that you would shower them with blessings, God. And Lord, we know that even the Christians there are suffering through this drought. And so we pray that you would bring relief to their land. May they be people who come to you and pray. Father, show them who you are. May they see you and truly see you. Lord, we think of Paul White, who is quite nervous about his move to Regina. And Lord, as he called this past week and said how much he's going to miss being here, we pray for him. We pray for safety upon him. We pray, Lord, that you would give him strength and courage. And Lord, that you would protect him with your angels. Lord, it's so good to come and pray as God's people. And I'm excited, Lord, today that we as a church, we're partnering together as we go to Turkey. Lord, that's exciting, an exciting adventure for all of us. And so I pray, Lord, that you would just bless us as your church. Lord, as you bless every church that worships you today, that's our prayer. Lord, bless us now, we pray, to your glory and to your honor, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, I got to tell you, I am a little bit excited about going to Turkey. But I figured, we live in Canada here, and we eat turkey. So what does that mean when you go to Canada, go to Turkey as a Canadian? I'm not sure. Do they eat Canadians? I don't know why. The thought. How special to have you sing that song, especially the part "To Live or Die." That's the part I really enjoyed. That was great. I was actually quite emotional, and I was speechless. That's got to be a first. These three fellows, Bill, Bob, and Stan, go in for a job interview, all at the same office. And Bill goes in for his interview, and the interviewer says, "What's the first thing you see when you look at me?" And Bill quickly replies, he said, "Well, that's not too hard, since you've got no ears." The interviewer says, "Well, that's it. Get out. You'll never be seen around here again." Bob's next in line, so he takes his turn. He's asked the same question, "What's the first thing you see when you look at me?" And Bob replies, "Well, you got no ears." The interviewer throws the guy out, yelling that he'll never get a job at this company ever. So as Bob's leaving, he warns the third applicant, Stan. He says, "Okay, listen, whatever you do, don't say he hasn't got any ears. He's so touchy with the ear thing." So Stan goes, "Okay," and he makes his way into the office, and once inside, he asks the same thing. "Name the first thing you notice when you look at me." Stan thinks about this very carefully, and he answers, "Well, that's easy. You wear contacts. Now, the interviewer was flabbergasted. He said, well, how in the world did you know that, son? How did you figure that out? And Stan answered, he said, what, are you stupid or something? You can't wear glasses. You got no ears. I hope you have your ears with you today, because I want you to hear how you can enjoy your life more and sing praise to God. I want to thank the Lord for Catherine Dorton, who put this Thanksgiving display together, and all of you who participated, because it looks so great. Thank you, Catherine. Thank you very much. That's from all of us to you. It's great. I have a request from you that you turn in your Bibles to the hymn book of Scripture, the praise manual, the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm chapter 33. And we'll start our listening with our ears. Psalm 33. As we learn why praise God. Why praise God? Because his word is solid. If you look here, it starts off, verse 1. Pastor Jeremy read these for you. Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. Just think for a moment. Just think for a moment. We have right here, right within our grasp, the very word of God. I cannot think of anything that gives us more hope for the journey than the Word of God. And the psalmist King David, he clearly explains how we are to approach the Word of God. We need to sing joyfully to God. Not mournfully, not begrudgingly, not with bitterness of soul. We need to sing, we need to pray, and we need to shout for joy. Be enthused, be excited, glad to be in the house of the Lord. We do this singing to relieve the tension that fills our mind, to alleviate the difficulties in this difficult world so that we are prepared to dig into his word. And you see, the psalmist clearly understands that the word of God enables and empowers, and so King David the harpist prepares his heart to blend with God's heart. And so he declares in verse 3, he says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. And then he says, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He's faithful in all he does. The Message Bible says, for God's word is solid to the core. Everything he makes is sound inside and out. You see, after you sing joyfully, after you get excited, after you come into his presence with song, then comes the word. Our hearts are already filled with responsiveness when we worship. When we truly God-focused worship, we become preoccupied with God so much, then and only then we feed on the word of God. Because the word of our God shall stand forever, says Isaiah. You grow closer to anything you spend time with. That can be our past. That can be our television. That can be our finances. That can be our present. That can be our sickness. That can also be our God. You grow closer to anything you spend time with. Friedrich Buchner said, you beg, you whimper, you lull God down with empty praise. You tell him sins that he already knows full well. You seek to change his changeless will. And sometimes, by God's grace, a prayer is heard. We walk around carrying the hurt of our past, the pain of our present. When are you going to start fighting back? By using the power of the word of God spoken out of your mouth to interfere with what the devil's trying to do to you. When are we going to just stop sitting around and taking it? See, Satan tried to defeat Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and Jesus said, "It is written, it is written, it is written. Let him who has my words," Jesus said, "speak my word faithfully." I find it fascinating that we hang on the very words of what authors have written, Beth Moore, Chuck Swindoll, Tony Campolo. We hunger to hear them speak to us. We need a greater hunger. We need a greater thirst. We need a greater passion for the Word of God that's solid, that's right here in front of us. Because this is our strength. This is our defense. This is our hope. Believe the Bible. That's a reason to praise God. Because we have right within our grasp the very Word of God. That's why I rejoice. That's why I'm glad. That's why I'm excited. That's why I'm enthused. How about you? You happy today? Right on. Tell somebody. Your neighbor right now, nudge them, they're falling asleep. Why praise God? Because His Word is solid and His plan is complete. His plan is complete. Look at these verses. By the word of the Lord, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere Him. For He spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of His heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. Wow. God put it all together. You sang about it this morning. You sang about how God put it all together. Even your life is put together by Him. Did you know that? God has plans for you. God has a purpose for your life. He moves you along. He blesses you beyond measure. Do you expect that from Him, the blessing beyond measure? Sometimes we almost feel like it would be wrong to expect God to do more for us when He's already done so much. But God is not limited. He is limitless. And I tell you, how many of you have children? Come on, admit it. My kids will take whatever I give them. I haven't had one of them come to me and say, "Oh, Dad, come on. You've done way too much for me." I mean, they're appreciative. And they're good to Joan and I. I mean, we have a ball together. In fact, they do little things that are huge in our sight. They make us dinner. And when they made us dinner, they always make some kind of a colored drink. I think it's yogurt and cottage cheese or something. And we drink that, and it's marvelous. Because our kids are good to us. I appreciate that. We're good to them. You know what people need to learn is to be good to one another. Because we're never, ever going to learn what God is all about unless we're good to one another. We're never going to let God be good to us if we don't let other people be good to us. God wants more for you than what you can even imagine, because that's His plan. He desperately wants to provide everything you need. But are you willing to let Him? God wants to bless you exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond what we can even ask or think. In Genesis, God said, "Let there be," and there was. See, King David had such confidence in God. There are some issues in many people's lives where they just don't have any confidence in God, so they don't expect God to do anything. But as Christians, we're supposed to be expecting people. We're supposed to be walking around expecting. Always. And if you look at verse 12, I love this. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. You can lose this if you don't see it. The Bible says that through Christ there's been an inheritance. It's been provided for us. I've got an inheritance. You've got an inheritance. Hallelujah. At least somebody's given me an inheritance. Our children have an inheritance. And one of the reasons we bless them now is because I want to see them enjoy some of the things that we can provide for them now while I'm still around to see them enjoy it. And I believe God's the same way. We've got an awesome, indescribable inheritance, but I don't think that means that we've got to wait until we die to get it. I believe when Jesus Christ died, we got it. Amen? Because somebody has got to die for the inheritance to be released, but Jesus died. We don't have to die to get it. Jesus died. And the minute that he died, that inheritance was released to who? Whosoever will. Bible says. So God's already done everything that he's going to do. I hate to tell you that, but we're not really waiting on God to do anything because he's done everything that he needs to do. He's waiting on us to believe what he's already done. Chuck Swindoll said, it's awesome to realize that today was in God's mind and plan long before this earth was created. He knew you would be where you are at this very moment, living in your present circumstances. What is already was because God's already done it. So turn over your controls of your life to him. Admit your weakness, your hypocrisy, your tendency to worry. Admit your deep need of his presence and his counsel in your life. That's why I praise God, because he's got it all together. Why praise God? Because his word is solid. His plan is complete. Because he's our hope. If you look at verse 13, from heaven the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance, despite all its great strength it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. That's where our hope is. You see, God, not only is God watching over all who live on earth, but in him is our hope. The word hope in the Greek, it has to do with the unseen and the future. It's the happy anticipation of the good. It is expecting, says the Greek. The law of human behavior says sooner or later we will get what we expect. Christians should be always on the edge of our seat, expecting, anticipating, knowing that with God something good is about to happen. There's that Gaither song, something good is about to happen. Do you think they sing it because it just sounds good? No. They sing it because they know something good is about to happen. Say, something so good is going to happen. Say that with me. Something so good is going to happen that I don't know if I'll be able to stand it. That I don't know if I'll be able to stand it. Yeah. Because often we're shocked. Oh, this is great. Oh, I've been praying for this for 3 weeks. And now. Let there be, God said, and there was. How many of you have ever seen a pregnant lady? How about a man? Oh, I'm sorry. An expectant mom. You know, they're making plans. How it's going to take place, you know. How many of you have ever watched the Flintstones? You know that old cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Wilma Flintstone's expecting a baby. Remember that time? She's with child. She packs her suitcase. She's all ready. Fred, her husband, he's in panic mode. He goes through practice drills just to make sure he gets her to the hospital okay and on time. He takes a monkey and all these kind of things that happen. Expecting! I remember when Joan and I were pregnant. When Joan was pregnant, we bought name books. We went through the books looking at names, expecting. Expectancy. He's buying the baseball mitt, bat, and cap of his favorite team, the Blue Jays. She's buying the bottles, the crib, getting the nursery painted. Expecting. We need to act like people who are expecting. You know, when you're expecting somebody for dinner, I can hardly wait till they get here so I can start cooking. You're setting the table the night before. You're doing all that. You guys are, we ate there. We're planning. Joan's got little menus. It's we're expecting. And we're looking out the window. This is what I do. We're all lined up. And we're looking out the window. They're coming. They'll be here any minute. And then they start pulling out. I got to go to the bathroom. Just to make it look like I'm not expecting, We should get up in the morning and we should be expecting. But most of us are like the pessimist whose tombstone epitaph read, "I expected this." What are you expecting? We should get up in the morning anticipating. Like this Pickles cartoon. Look at this in the morning. Have you seen my glasses? You do this every morning, Have you seen my glasses, or where did I put my keys, or I can't find my watch? It's getting a bit tiresome. Maybe you should take better care of your things. Go ahead. But as long as you're looking around, see if you can find the remote. Get up in the morning expecting. Because when you have hope, no matter what Satan takes away from you, he can't take your hope away from you if you don't give it to him. And as long as you've got hope, you've got possibility. When you've got possibility, you've got availability. You get up and you say, "Today is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it." But a lot of us really don't expect anything from God because we don't feel like we have a right to expect anything from God. You're correct. You don't have a right except through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Because God's plan is complete. Remember Jesus' words on the cross? It is finished. God's plan is complete. We wait in hope for the Lord. He's our help. He's our shield. In him our hearts rejoice as we trust and we believe in his majestic power and presence to know that God oversees everything. Nothing gets by him. Not our hurt, not our pain, not our sin, not our joy. Nothing gets by God. He sees everything. He knows everything. Aren't you glad you know him? He says to you, you are my child. He says, you have been set apart. You are holy by the blood of the Lamb. Everything that I lay my hand to prospers and exceeds under his name. I am more than a conqueror, says God. Aren't you glad you know him? He is our redeemer. He is our victor. He is our strength. He is our provider. He is our shield. Nothing gets by him. He forms the heart of all. He considers everything that is done. He loves those who fear him. He enjoys those who love him. Oh, I rejoice in knowing him. His word is solid. His plan is complete. He is our hope. That's why I praise God. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Maybe this morning as you come to him, maybe you've just lost something along the way, and that's the passion of expecting. Maybe you've just lost along the way that hope that was always there and somewhere it disappeared. Maybe you're not anticipating anymore. Maybe you're not waking up saying, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, be glad in it." Today, you can come to him. Today, you can talk to him. Today, he can talk to you through his word. Today, he can speak to your very heart and deal with whatever problem you're walking through, whatever hurt you feel, whatever pain is there. Talk to him. Maybe you want to say, "Lord, Thank you. Thank you that everything is complete. Thank you that it is finished. Thank you that I can trust in you. Maybe you want to say to him, Lord, I haven't been expecting. I haven't been sitting on the edge of my seat expecting or anticipating. While you come to God today, if you're coming to him that way, just lift your hand. Every head is bowed, every eyes closed. Just lift your hand. Say, Lord, I'm coming to you. I want to anticipate. Lord, bless you. 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 God sees all those hands. If you're here this morning and you've heard people talk about Jesus, and maybe someone has even talked to you about how he gave his life for you, and that's really what it's all about. It's complete there. Your life is complete when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning you feel that tug of God and you want to say, Lord, I want to be in heaven. I want the security of heaven. I want you to come into my life. I ask you to forgive me where I've done all those things that haven't pleased you, and I give you my heart today. I want to be a Christian. If you're talking to God that way today and taking that gift, that free gift, that privilege, he gives it to you. Will you take it? Just lift up your hand while every head is bowed, every head is closed. If you're saying, yes, I'm taking that. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Lord, bless you. Father, you're a majestic God, full of grace. Lord, you're always faithful to us, even when we're faithless. To you is our hope. Every day, we hope thou in God, says Scripture. Lord, we hope in you. Nothing else can do what you have done. Nothing else can do what you will do. So God, we trust in you. As a church, we trust in you. We hope in you. Because, Lord, you've called us to a great, large task. We don't know how we can do it. But we know we need to hope in you. So we surrender everything to you, God. As a church, we surrender everything to you. As your people, we surrender to you our very lives. God, continue to shape us, mold us. Lord, may we truly walk with you and honor you with the people that we are. We pray this to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.